baby. We are right back into the action for another day of the week. Welcome to the Monday edition of Before You Bet, Aaron Live, right here on the Covers YouTube and X channels. If you're watching on YouTube right now, smash that like and that subscribe button right down there. A lot of great content here on the Covers YouTube channel. A lot going on in the world of sports, especially the world of football, both NFL and college. And we were covering it all on today's program. Kind of a, you know, when the schedule first came out, this looked like a massive Monday night football game. Not so much anymore, but from a betting perspective, there's absolutely some good angles here tonight for 49ers versus Lions. Jingles will be along here in a matter of seconds. We each have a couple of picks for the game. After that, a little bit going on in the world of college football this week. When you say second round of the college football playoff gets going, Brad Powers is here to break down all the big games, couple of best bets from him. Then in the third segment of the show, what do you think we're covering? We're covering NBA with the Magic Ass Man himself, John Mettler. Okay, if you guys want to participate in the show today, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat right down there. Let us know, what do you like for Monday Night Football tonight? What do you like for the second round of the college football playoff? What do you like in the NBA? Drop it in the comment section. We'll read a few off throughout the course of the program. Okay, let's talk some National Football League, and let's talk it with the man who has the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. The camera nice and clear today over there. Jingles, a pretty good NFL betting weekend for myself. I went 3-1 with the picks on Friday's program. I got my days all mixed up here, like everyone else. I hit a +340. I did the alt under for Dolphins Browns. I took under 23.5. Kind of got a little sweaty unnecessarily towards the end, but the Browns are doing a fantastic job at tanking, so that's what got that one home. How was your weekend betting and viewing wise for the NFL?
Did the Browns have a turnover on downs at the goal line at the end of that game too? Like, obviously,
no, they were about 40 years. Yeah, towards the end of the game. Yeah, it did go right down to it. So, but it ended. I think they were at around the 40-yard line, and DTR he should not be playing professional football.
No, it was good. I got backdoored an Antonio Gibson over 7.5 carries in a game that was meaningless at the end. But, I mean, we saw some, and we'll get to it in my winners, but the rookie play in week 17 was off the charts. And it wasn't just a quarterback play. Like Brian Thomas, like Bucky Irving, like this might be one of the best rookie classes we've seen. And we're not even talking about the first overall pick, who might be one of the worst picks so far in the draft when we look back on things.
Indeed. Okay, so a lot to get into for tonight's game. Let's recap what we saw here over the weekend with our biggest winners and the losers per usual. Let's start positive. Let's be nice. Our biggest winners of the week. My biggest winner of the week is the Washington Commanders. Hey, guys, what a difference a year makes. New owner, new coach, new quarterback. They go from being a 4-13 laughing stock to a very exciting, fun team, up to 11 wins on the season, and they have clinched a playoff spot. So this season, it doesn't matter what happens next week or in the first round of the playoffs here, this season has been a major win for the Washington Commanders. So congrats to Commanders fans who need to sit through all that bull crap under Dan Snyder and the never-ending revolving door of quarterbacks they had. So if you are a Commanders fan, we salute you. The future is very bright. Speaking of bright futures, a bit of a similar story here. The Los Angeles Chargers, they go into New England, never mind an early body clock game for them in the early window on the East Coast a day early. It did not matter. They beat the living shit out of the Patriots. What a difference a year makes from them. 5-12 last season. Brandon Staley had turned this team into a complete laughingstock. People are starting to turn on Justin Herbert a little bit. Not anymore. What a difference a coach like Jim Harbaugh makes. Comes in, totally changes the culture of things. Everyone views Herbert as one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Once again, he surpasses Peyton Manning for the most passing yards in the first 5 years of his career. Still one game to go here for the Chargers as well. And my third biggest winner, this guy's been in this category a lot here this season, Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's a really good quarterback. Sam Darnold is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. You cannot debate it. So just such an amazing story. The Jets absolutely ruined this guy. They tried to took a little while, but he got with the right people here, and he is finally meeting his potential. Biggest game of the season yesterday. Throws for 377 yards and three touchdowns. Last seven games for Sam Darnold. 18 touchdown passes to two interceptions. This man is on absolute fire right now. People, what should the Vikings do with their quarterback? Are you kidding me? This is not debatable. They should be signing Sam Darnold. Try to get him on a reasonable contract. You might not have to pay him as much as, you know, the Tuas and the Trevor Lawrences of the world, even though he's probably better. But put J.J. McCarthy out there on the trade market. Could you break even for this guy? Can you get a first round pick back? All these bad teams in the NFL that are going to need a quarterback. The Giants, by the way, they're not in a top spot to get one of the top quarterbacks in the draft anymore. We'll see what happens next week. Honorable mention goes to us, the viewers and the fans of the NFL, because we get an amazing game next Sunday, last game of the season, Vikings at Lions, Sunday night football. The stakes are huge. The winner gets home field throughout the playoffs. They don't have to play in the wild card round. The loser has to go on the road. They are the fifth seed. The stakes are massive for that game. I cannot wait. Jingles, your biggest winners of the week, who are they?
I already alluded to it, and Jigglypuff's talking about the meaningness of this game, and we'll get to that for sure. But that rookie class, like I said, it's absolutely outstanding, and especially not even 1-1. Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers, Jalen McMillan, was receiver number 92. Xavier Worthy, we saw what Ladd McConkey can do. He's elite. He was wide receiver 9 out of the draft. Xavier Leggett, Keon Coleman had a great catch. Brock Bowers, talking about a guy who just set the rookie receiving record. Then you got Bucky Irving. He was picked 125. Tyrone Tracy was 166. And then the quarterback class, not including Caleb Williams, of Daniels, May, Nix, and what we saw for Michael Penix in primetime. That's about as impressive as a rookie class can get. And I think as the season rolls on, as the years roll on, these guys are going to be more professional when they come into the league, as we start to see. Like, we've never seen a tight end come in and dominate the league that Brock Bowers has as a rookie, because it's one of the hardest positions to learn. There's so many responsibilities, and just starting to see people look like absolute studs when they come. Next winner, Baker and the Bucks. He had as many incompletions as he did touchdowns, and they just absolutely kept their foot on the pedal and just kept throwing. It was so awesome to see where they just didn't lean. And it's a team I don't want to face in the playoffs. They just have too many options offensively. Someone goes down. Chris Godwin goes down. McMillan steps up. Cade Otton goes down. Payne Durham steps up. Okay. They get Bucky Irving, who almost had 200 total yards. He was an absolute stud. I like a lot of what Tampa Bay has going into the playoffs. And Joe Burrow, it has to be said, and we're starting to see it. We're starting to see a little more talk in the MVP talk with what Joe Burrow is. If you take one player away from his team, there's not a team that is affected more than what Joe Burrow means to that team. We saw what that team is. It's the shittiest O-line in football, basically. The guy's getting hunted on every play. The defense is absolutely atrocious. And the funny thing, Trey Henderson is a guy who is top 5 in sacks, but this defense is still awful. And they don't even have any special teams. Did you see Cade York's face after he missed that field goal and hit the pole? Like, that was the most in real life pose I've ever seen from a professional player. He is the most important person to anybody on any team. So those are my winners so far.
Okay, let's get negative. Let's be mean. Let's make fun of some people and make fun of some teams. My biggest loser of the week, the team that was actually a winner. They won their game here in week 17. It is the New York Giants, who suck shit so bad all goddamn season that they had the number one overall pick for the NFL draft sitting there right in their lap. So what do they do when they have this number one overall pick right in their lap for a week? They go out and they play their best game of the entire season. They were really good yesterday, not so much on defense, but out of nowhere, this is probably the worst offense in the NFL. They come out and they score 45 points. What is going on? So where did that come from? So now they have the fourth overall pick. We'll see how things shake out after next week. This isn't a draft that is rich in quarterback talent, by the way. I know Sanders and Cam Warder looked at the two best guys and then probably a gap with the other guys. But I know the players do not give a flying fuck about where they're going to be drafting. And a lot of people on the coaching staff probably don't care any either. But what is the organization doing here? Malik Nabers is questionable all week. Why wouldn't you just hold Malik Nabers out of the gate and say, you know what, we don't want to risk you injuring your foot anymore. We're going to sit you down. No, they play him, and he has 171 yards and two touchdowns. So that's probably the biggest reason why they won. It's a bit of a tricky situation, though, right? But, yeah, the Giants are a humongous loser. They go from 1-4 in the NFL draft. This is a team that needs a quarterback. My second biggest loser of the week is the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, who the Giants beat. So let me get this straight here, Colts. They watch the Saturday football. They see that the Broncos lose. They see that they are still alive. And this is how they come out for this game where they were a favorite of 7.5 points. You allow 45 points to Drew Lock and the New York Giants. What are you doing? Three turnovers. They allowed a kick return touchdown to open the second half. Just a complete and total joke. And I put this on the head coach. I'm not going to put this on any individual players. The coach did not have this team ready to play. Shane Steichen, brilliant offensive mind. Some guys are not meant to be a head coach. Steichen is not meant to be a head coach. He'll be an offensive coordinator somewhere. It's probably the year after next, after they run it back with Anthony Richardson, who can't be healthy enough to play. They're in trouble. And my third biggest loser of the week, I'm sick and tired of talking about the New York Jets. You guys know, I came in, I told anyone that would listen, hey, this team is overhyped. They are overrated. I didn't even think it would be this bad. That was absolutely pathetic. Probably the worst performance any team has had all season. They were down 40-0 at one point against the Buffalo Bills, who weren't even trying their hardest. Things got so bad that Aaron Rodgers removed himself from the game. Did you see the press conference after? He goes up to the head coach and said, it's probably time to put Tyrod in. And as a result of the Jets being such big losers, I think we're going to be losers too. You guys know that I wanted the Jets to get eliminated from the playoff contention so I could cash my bet and then maybe get a little bit of a spark late in the season, enough of a spark to say, you know what, we're going to run this back with Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and the fellas. That's going to be impossible to do. How do you bring Aaron Rodgers back? How does he want to come back? So that's probably not going to happen. The divorce is going to happen in the offseason here. Just a complete and total joke. Jingles, who are your biggest losers of the week?
Oh, I mean, the Jets game was up there. I had lots of money on Devontae Adams and Breece Hall, and because I thought the Buffalo defense was soft, and they kind of are. We saw them give up points versus New England, who we saw is also awful. But that was just an awful game from them. And it was funny to see Devontae Adams at the end of the game, like maybe fake an injury. You don't want to say that he is, but like he was playing with the backups, and he's like, yeah, and he's like, no, he basically pulled himself from the game. Caleb Williams is on my list. I applauded all the other rookies, and I think we really kind of know more or less what Caleb Williams is, a 2023 version of Bryce Young, maybe not a better arm, but it's just a person who the game's really fast for. And you talk about it a lot, Joe, maybe quarterbacks need to be given time, but all these guys come in, right? You see like Michael Penix last night, like guys come in and pick up this game quick. When you're an elite person, like Caleb Williams and been given everything, it's a very difficult thing, I would think, professionally to be like, I can overcome a lack of preparation that I've maybe used to have in my college football days and put that towards the NFL. And we see it. He's a bottom four quarterback in terms of his first half numbers, because we have to look at him through his first half numbers because he's been playing catch up all season and padding his stats. He's a bottom four quarterback in terms of success rate, CPOE, the composite over at running backs don't matter, like around guys like Anthony Richardson, guys like DTR, if there was enough reps for it. But it's an ugly rep for Caleb Williams. And I mean, he lost his OC, he lost his head coach, and a lot of that's on him as well. Matthew Stafford in the Rams offense has been kind of embarrassing. Somehow they clinch, but 160, 110, 189 yards in back-to-back weeks for Matthew Stafford, one touchdown over that stretch. Like I said, they're 3-0. They've scored 44 points, but their defense only allowed two touchdowns over the last three games. insane what they've done. I really don't know what to think of them going into the playoffs. I don't know if Stafford is banged up or if he's playing hurt or if he's just, I mean, that Iron Man stretch that he had is just kind of catching up to him. And finally, on your vein, the Colts and Survivor backers, 16 of the 34 circa remaining survivors were on the Colts versus, I mean, all that money on Joe Flacco. You finally survived the gauntlet that was the early part that everybody got eliminated in Survivor. And you go out in week 17, holding on to Joe Flacco in the Meadowlands. And we talked about it, that Giants offense never scores at home. And there they go, put up a 40 burger. Insane. Six of the 12 remaining in the covers 10K Survivor also eliminated. So in the circa one, the remaining guys, each ticket's worth about $792,000 as they head into week 18.
Yeah, like I said, that's on the head coach. They got a way too big of a hole against the New York Giants. What are you guys doing? You got to come out in that game with your foot firmly on the gas. One other team I want to give a little bit of credit to is no one's going to go crazy about the Eagles beating the Cowboys, but a lot happened in that game. They didn't have Jalen Hurts. They needed a little bit of a bounce back. We know what happened the week before against the Commanders. So their defense did a great job. Their defense did bounce back. And a guy I called a loser a couple of weeks ago, he was in the loser section, AJ Brown, after he kind of called out the offense and the media. Did you see this thing that happened? So he catches a touchdown pass. He throws the ball up into the crowd. And good on him and that fan. Good on the – sometimes you see these idiot fans –
They're not idiot fans.
The guy's 500th home run ball. It's my ball. It's like, dude, you got to like be a bit of an adult about the situation. I don't even think the guy hesitated. He's like, okay, yeah, sure. I'll give the ball back to the quarterback whose first it was his first touchdown pass. So good on him and good for AJ Brown. He made a point after to go out and find the fan, takes the jersey off his back, and he signs it. So I love when I see stuff like that in sports. So two thumbs up to everyone involved in the situation there.
Guys should have held out for more. You can always hold out for more. That first offer is always terrible. They're like, here's a team bat signed by everybody. No, I'll talk to you after the game. You want it? Like you see guys, what they do with their MLB debut patch cards now, like how much they want that stuff. Like it's valuable to them. You shouldn't have thrown it in the stands. AJ Brown has money. You probably get 5 digits for it. You know what I mean? Like, so what? Make it into a plus
$10,000. Man, I don't know. Yes, I think when you're there in the moment, it's
AJ Brown would pay $10,000 to get that quarterback at football for sure.
It's hard though when you're there in the moment. You got a bunch of people around you yelling like, "Hey, give the ball back!" And you know, there's probably a team employee who came up to the guy and said, "Hey, we're gonna make this." Like,
do you know who went to go get him? I don't want to call him a mafia
Big
guy.
Big Dom.
Yeah, Big Dom was the one who headed the security to go get him.
Yeah, okay. So a little bit of disagreement there between you and I, but I liked how everyone handled that situation. So shout out to AJ Brown. Very cool moment. Okay, Brad Powers coming up here in a matter of minutes. Before that, though, we have 5 total picks for the Monday night.
Patrick Fleming. I gotta protect myself, Joe. I sorry to cut you off. Patrick Fleming says, yeah, worth millions, you donkey. No, I didn't say millions. I said 5 digits. I think I can get $10,000 for that guy's first ball paid for by AJ Brown, who foolishly threw it into the 500 level.
Yeah, I'd give a ball back for a nice piece of memorabilia, I think. And that was an AJ Brown game worn autograph. You know, that's a debate for another day. Let's get into the Monday night football game. Like I said, when the schedule first came out, even a couple of months ago, people would have said, hey, this game looks awesome for a late game Monday night or late season Monday night football game. Not a whole lot of meaning, though, but I do think some good betting spots. I'll get us started. I'm going to take the Lions to cover the spread here, -3.5. I'm not going to buy too much into the fact that there's not a whole lot for them to play for in this game. If you saw the Dan Campbell press conference, he was very matter of fact that, hey, their foot is going to be on the gas. So I think there's going to be plenty of motivation for them to pick up this win versus the team that knocked them out of the playoffs last season in San Francisco, by the way. Okay, let's get into it. The 49ers have not been good against good teams this season. because they're not a good team. The Bills beat them by 25. The Packers beat them by 28. The Chiefs beat them by 10. The Vikings beat them by 6. The Rams beat them twice. Just not an impressive body of work by the 49ers at all the season, even when they were a little bit healthier. So major offensive strengths here for the Lions versus major defensive weaknesses for San Francisco. Detroit, top five in red zone offense and third down offense. The 49ers, 27th in red zone defense, 24th in third down defense. The Detroit Lions are number one in the NFL in third down defense. And the Lions are a covering machine here. Oh, my God, guys. 18-4 against the spread in their last 22 road games. I do think San Francisco getting a little bit too much respect here based on their reputation. They have not played well. The 49ers are not. This is not the team of last season. They're down quite a few guys here. So, yeah, I like the Lions. You like the Lions, too, but you're backing them a different way.
Yep, back on that gift that keeps on giving. The Detroit Lions first half team total, always sitting around 13.5 points, minus 116 this week, 13-1 to the over since week two. It's been even more incredible what they've produced in the first half of late, putting up 20.5 first half points per game over their last six. Defense, they have to score because of that defense. And this situation is probably the best spot for it, just in case there are some benchings later in this game, because this game means nothing for Detroit unless they do tie in week 18. And I don't know if you've seen San Francisco, that O-line is severely banged up. Their defense, 10-plus guys out or on the IR. There's some serious issues. I don't know if there'll be a lot of time of possession maybe in that San Francisco side, but Detroit, the best scripted offense in all of football, coming out again over 13.5 points in the first 30 minutes for sure.
Let's go to Prop City. Debo Samuel, I'm going to take him to go over his receiving yard total there. Sitting there at 47.5 yards. Let's get into it. So he's coming off a great week. His highest amount of catches and targets since week two. 7 catches on 9 targets, leading to 96 yards. So I think that was very deliberate to feed him the ball coming off that awful game versus the Rams. And they could look to keep him rolling to finish out the season here. So he played the Lions last season in the NFC title game. He had a fantastic game. He had 89 yards. And I say he had 89 yards under much different circumstances. I don't mean the circumstances of the game. I mean, based on the personnel that was available to the 49ers, McCaffrey and Ayuk were obviously playing in that game. So a lot more balls to go around this time around. And he had 89 yards against him in the NFC title game. And to bring it all together, Detroit has allowed the second most yards to wide receivers all season. They allow an average of 187.6 yards per game to the wide receiver position. 49ers potentially may be playing catch up here a little bit, throwing up a lot of balls. Hopefully a lot of those balls go to Debo and he goes over. Okay, you like a San Francisco wide receiver. You have two different bets for him. Break them both down for us here, Jingles.
Jigglypuff says, we want George Kittle props. I want a George Kittle longest reception, but it doesn't exist. Like, there's literally no market for it because I mean, it's 1-8 in its last 9 times. Really interesting why it's not there. If Goff gets hurt, Dan will not hear it enough from critics. Yeah, Dan Campbell will be the enemy of himself. I think you at least see the first half for sure with the starters going in the game. But I'm on rookie Ricky here. I'm going to go two. We can show both them. The over 21.5 receiving yards, I'm on this one. And if producer Mick can slide over to the other one, I'll just do them all in one shot here. So Ryan and Bennett can keep their peckers in their pants there. We got Ricky Pearsall over 14.5 longest as well. I'm going to put them both together. I think this could be a big Ricky game. We've seen his snap share go up almost 60% week on week last week. He's gotten 4 targets in the last 2 games. And this could possibly be showcase evaluation bumps within this game, especially late. No team in football is allowing more yards per completion than Detroit over the last 3 weeks. A big one at over 14 yards per catch. That is big. Debo and Jennings are in the way, but they play a lot of 3 wide receiver sets, so there's still lots of snaps. He's gone over in back-to-back games. I think this is a big spot. I mean, his 60, if you're really aggressive, his 60 is about plus 185 if you're looking for some big numbers. So I think this is a spot where there's big variance in this game, and I think Ricky Pearsall is a guy who can go over his number substantially.
All right, Ricky and Debo. Hopefully this stuffs the stat sheet a little bit. Not enough, because I need the Lions to cover in the game here tonight. Okay, Jingles, we're going to leave it at that. But, of course, we'll look to catch up with you later on in the week. Week 18 of the regular season, a little bit tricky. You know, you have a lot of player incentives. I'm sure we'll get into some of that stuff for the contracts. Motivation questionable. You know the Cleveland Browns are going to be tanking. But we'll leave it at that for today, Jingles. Happy New Year to you and your family. And we will see you next year.
Oh, God. That's the first time I've heard that this year. All right. Take care. Good luck with your butts. Enjoy Monday Night Football.
That's a go-to dad joke for me. And I just thought to use it. How clever am I? Okay. College football. Bowl season. A lot of games over the weekend. Some big games to get to this week. And if we're talking college football, we're doing it with our guy in sunny Las Vegas. Brad, the people are calling for you in the live chat. How are you making out today?
I see that, but it depends on the week. I think they're only calling because I've had a good bowl season so far. In the regular season, they're probably trying to get me off the air and wanting Jingles picks. So, and it's always, no matter what, you can't please everybody.
Well, the games matter more now to some, I guess. So, yeah. Let's keep it rolling here, Brad. So we're obviously going to go through the 4 second round playoff games here, which get underway tomorrow. There's a game today I want to get your thoughts on. We have Alabama, Michigan. You know, it doesn't mean anything, but two big fan bases, so people will be betting on that. But before we get into all of that, we had just the avalanche of bowl games over the weekend. Any big takeaways from what we saw out of all the games here over the weekend?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest takeaways as far as our industry goes is the performance of the ACC. As bad as any conference in any bowl season ever. 0-10 against the spread so far this bowl season. Not a single team has covered the consensus closing line. They're failing to cover by more than 8 points per game on average. You look at the three teams left in the conference, they've all taken money against them. Louisville, Virginia Tech, and Duke. Louisville's got a backup quarterback. Virginia Tech's got down 14 starters for the game. Duke's got a backup quarterback. So there's a good possibility that this conference might go 0-13 against the number. So what does that mean moving forward? Well, I mean, it's such a horrific, dismal performance that the conference might be shaded against next year as far as the amount of at-large possibilities in the college football playoff. I also think the obvious stuff continues to cash. Teams with a backup quarterback, 3-8 so far this bowl season against the number, again, using consensus closing lines. Teams with 20 or more players in the transfer portal, 2-6 against the spread so far this bowl season. Teams with six or more starters opting out or transferring, 4-9 against the number. So keep it simple moving forward. Team with a backup quarterback or a bunch of transfers, bet against them, especially early in the process.
Okay, let's get into the action here. We do have a bowl game today. It is Iowa-Missouri. Missouri favored by 2.5. Low total, 40 points here, Brad. It might surprise some to hear that Iowa has actually gone over 9 of its last 12 games. Any thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, just a lean for me. I thought it was a sharp move on Iowa a couple days ago. They took off the plus threes on a low total, obviously three being a key number, especially with a low total. But what are we seeing? Iowa is going to play their quarterback, Brendan Sullivan. Didn't take the most majority of snaps this year, but did start a couple of games at the end. He got the most upside of all their quarterbacks. So I'm going to lean Iowa here plus 2.5, but not a big bet for me.
Okay. The second round, the college football playoff gets underway tomorrow evening with Penn State favored by 11, taking on Boise State, total 53 for this one. Penn State on a 5-1 ATS roll as a favorite. Boise State's been off for a while since December 6th. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, I'm going to go derivative here. I'm going to go Penn State team total over 31.5. Lean, not a best bet because obviously I prefer it at a little bit of different number there. But what am I seeing? Well, number one, Boise State strength of schedule leaves a lot to be desired. I mean, we're talking about number 80th strength of schedule in my power rating. So they haven't faced a lot of players that can play in space like Penn State, particularly the run game. Obviously, people point towards the Oregon game, but that Oregon, that was week two. Oregon had issues and injuries on the offensive line. They just haven't seen a passing attack with a quarterback like Aller for Penn State. Haven't seen an offensive line. I think Penn State will have their way here over 31.5 for me.
Okay, next up we have another double-digit spread here for the first game on New Year's Day. Texas favored by 12.5, taking on Arizona State, total 51. Texas on a nice under run here, Brad. They've gone under in 8 of their last 10 games. Arizona State, they're on a 6-0 ATS roll They were an outright winner four times as an underdog during the regular season. The highest spread, though, in those games where they were a winner was 7.5. This one, like I said, 12.5. Any thoughts on this one?
Yeah, we're going to lay with the chalk here. Texas minus 12. Texas team that I liked in the first round, although very fortunate to get home. But what do I see in this matchup? Well, we'll start with Arizona State. Obviously, Scadaboo, their offense runs around him. Obviously, Texas is going to load the box to try to stop him, unlike Iowa State in the Big 12 championship game. I think what gets overlooked is they were missing their top wide receiver, Arizona State, in the Big 12 championship game. Gets overlooked because they had such a big blowout performance. That will matter in this game. We're talking about their third best weapon on offense behind Scadaboo and the quarterback. I just think if Texas can load the box, cut play man coverage on the outside, I don't see a pathway for much success for Arizona State's offense. And on the other side, Arizona State's defense overrated. So I'm going to lay with Texas. Hook them, minus 12.
Okay, let's get serious here. Some games with spreads inside of 3 points here. A couple of best bets from Brad here, too, for the best two games of the second round. Let's get started here. Ohio State versus Oregon. Oregon is a 2.5-point dog, total of 45. Oregon closed as a plus 3.5-point dog when these teams met back on October 12th. They obviously went on to win, which was one of the better games of the regular season. Ohio State, great response after getting embarrassed by Michigan. I think the most impressive performance of the first round. They destroyed Tennessee 42-17. What is the best bet for this one, Brett?
Keep it simple. We're going over the total. Obviously, the first matchup was a track meet, and I'm here to tell you there was a lot of points still left on the field in that game. Oregon missed a chip shot field goal, missed an extra point, got stopped on downs inside Ohio State's 5-yard line in the second half of that game. Ohio State, obviously, everyone points towards, you know, the inability to get a final playoff, that which would have been a field goal attempt at the end. But don't have to worry about weather. It's a Rose Bowl for majority of the time. Ohio State, I expect a similar offensive game plan that we just saw. We're not going back to what they did against Michigan, where you're trying to run into the teeth of the defense. They should throw it on the outside of the perimeter to their best skill position players, that being Jeremiah Smith. And then Oregon, I think much the same. I mean, they're going to test Ohio State secondary, which the cornerbacks for Ohio State are their weakness. I don't see much change up there. And I question, Ohio State's got the number one defense in the country, but against who? I mean, the best offense that they faced was Oregon, and Oregon had 500 yards on them. So over 55, best bet for me.
Let's go. Okay, so a fun one there. Last but not least, good-looking game here. Notre Dame, Georgia. Georgia favored by one. The Irish on an incredible roll here. 9-0 against the spread in their last nine games. Georgia just not a good bet this season. 3-9 against the spread. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, I'm going contrarian here. I know a lot of people think Notre Dame's a play because of that cover streak. Georgia with a backup quarterback. So poor old Georgia and Kirby Smart. What are they going to ever do? What are they going to do? Well, I tell you, they're still the more talented roster here. And I love Kirby with extra time to prep. 7 straight bowl and playoff wins for him by an average of 24.5 points per game. Last I checked, we're not laying 24.5 here. We're going to take the money line minus 120 here, relatively cheap money line. Look, I have some concerns about the backup quarterback, but I think with 3 weeks to prep, they'll have a good game plan. And I look at the offensive line for Georgia averaging 317 against a banged up Notre Dame defensive front, average weight 277, 40 pounds per man there. I think Georgia's able to run it. And then on the Georgia defense, I think they'll, they're by far the best defense Notre Dame's seen. So best bet, money line, Georgia minus 120.
Okay, let's go. Okay, so a few more bowl games of note here over the next couple of days that I want to get your opinion on. And in terms of brand names, it doesn't get much bigger than Alabama, Michigan, each coming off a disappointing regular season. However, they will meet in a bowl game. Alabama, pretty big favorite. Well, not that big. 13.5 points total on the low end, 43.5. Any thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, I like Alabama. You said, yeah, it's a big bowl favorite, but I mean, people wouldn't, scoff at laying 13.5 in a regular season game. And on top of that, let's look at this Michigan team. Obviously, off their best two performances of the season, that they blow out Northwestern by 50, and then they pulled a big upset against Ohio State. However, this was a very mediocre team prior to those two performances. And on top of that, if I was stack ranking Michigan's top 8-9 ball players for the season, they're all not playing. So you already had a team that was 5-5 at one point. You're pulling off all that great NFL talent that aren't going to play the game. I mean, if you gave me with what Michigan's going to put out there right now against Alabama, I would put their season win total at like 4, 4.5. So this is not a good Michigan team. Most of Alabama players are playing, including Milroe. Lay it. If you play it, I like Alabama -13.5.
Okay. Last stop, two teams that are coming off of pretty good regular seasons here, South Carolina and Illinois. South Carolina's favored by 10, total of 49.5. Any thoughts on this matchup?
Yeah, not a big bet for me, but the Big Ten, everyone's overreacting to Indiana. Oh, Indiana didn't belong. Quietly, the Big Ten has covered every other bowl game they've been in so far, 5-1 against the number, so they've been a little underrated. Anytime I, you know, for the most part, if I don't have a play or I don't perceive there to be a big edge, it's dog or nothing. Lean Illinois +10 here.
Okay. So, Brad, 5-0 on best bets for bowl season here on the show so far. Two that are still pending that he's given out, aside from the ones he gave out on today's show. North Texas, Texas State, he gave out under 67.5. And on Friday's show, he gave out Buffalo -2. So those games still to come. We still got a long way to go here, Brad, for bowl season.
Yeah, we do.
Football playoff. You're going to be right back with us on Friday. We'll get your reaction to all the big games of this week, and we'll look forward to more big games to come. So best of luck with all your bets, Brad. Enjoy the games, enjoy your handicapping, and we'll catch you later on in the week.
See you next year. Happy New Year.
Yes, sir. We'll see you next year, indeed. I love that joke. It's kind of lame, but Brad pulled it on me. I meant to do it to him. I'll try to do it to John Mettler here, or I'll try to think to do it at the end of the show. Okay, John Mettler, let's talk a little NBA action. John? How are we making out?
Good. You're not going to get that joke on me. He just did it to you. I was like, I'll do it to you as well.
I can't believe he got me. What an asshole. Okay, so we got some bets to discuss here tonight. But a few things of note here happened over the weekend. It was funny. We spent, 6-7 minutes discussing the Sacramento Kings on Friday's show. And I think later on in the day, or maybe it was the next day, they end up firing their head coach, Mike Brown. A lot of people disagree with it. What are your thoughts on Brown getting canned here by the Kings?
Yeah, it's just ironic that I think we gave the Sacramento Kings more airtime than they've ever had anywhere on Friday, and then they fire their coach on Saturday. How they fired him was pretty disrespectful. He was driving to the airport to get ready to go on the plane to fly to their next game. They called him. I mean, this guy won Coach of the year before and was a unanimous winner of the award. So to fire him like that was pretty just crazy. I think it's the GM really saving his own ass. I don't think they ever should have traded. Their roster was really good. They didn't need to trade for DeMar DeRozan. What they needed is kind of what the Lakers did. We'll touch on that in a second, but I don't know. The Kings are in a weird spot here. It does create an interesting spot for player props because now you have Doug Christie, and we've never seen Doug Christie coach before. He's kind of re-racking the minutes of some of these players, and I do have a prop relative to that later here. So it does create betting angles as well. I mean, the Kings, they're just the Kings, right? That's kind of, would you expect any? You saw Michael Malone come out and speak against it because the same thing happened to him. They fired him over the phone. I think they messed up, personally. You had a great year. You had a good thing going, and I think they might have just sent it backwards. But
yeah, some franchises are just forever going to be a joke. Yeah. Like, we know they had a great spark 2 years ago with the whole light the beam thing, and they had a great first-round playoff series, and you thought, hey, maybe this is the start of a little something-something here going for the Sacramento Kings. But now they're taking a couple steps backwards. And how about showing a little bit of goddamn class? The man gave his blood, sweat, and tears to the organization, probably working 60, 70 hours a week for you. And I know he's getting compensated well. He's a head coach in the NBA. But you call him on the phone? Give me a break here. Like, wait, the timing of it. Couldn't you have waited?
Well,
they
lost the game. He did, like, the post-game presser. I think he had a practice, and then he addressed the meet again. Then he was driving to the airport, and they fired him. It was,
I mean, that is cowardly. Do it face to face.
And like, you think the year before when they went to the playoffs and they're like top three, top four seed, they were like 200-1 to win their division. Like, that turnaround was massive that he made with them. So I don't know. I think it's the GM just making a move. You know, when you have like a head coach in the NFL and they fire their offense coordinator because it's like they're trying to buy themselves more time. That's what it feels like it was to me.
Yeah, and I mean, free agents and people see stuff like that. You think any like bio candidates are going to be interested in going to the Sacramento Kings in future years? No, absolutely not. They're a joke of an organization. Okay, the Lakers rounding out their depth chart here a little bit. Nice little pickup for them. What's your breakdown of this one?
Yeah, that was a like great trade. It did look like on Friday night he was going to go to the Memphis Grizzlies, Dorian Finney-Smith. He's not a big name. He's not someone a lot of people know. But when you just look at analytics and metrics, he's impactful as a role player. And that's really hard to come by sometimes in the NBA. He's a great, great wing defender. And he shoots right now. He's shooting about 43% from three. It's probably more about a 38% shooter from three. You don't run offense for him. He just gives like he's an elite defender. And then he goes down and he knocks down open threes. And that's exactly what the Lakers needed. You have, you know, Anthony Davis is your main offensive weapon, LeBron James, then Austin Reeves. So they have three guys, and Hachimura can score too. The Reeves, D'Angelo Russell thing just never made sense because we don't need another scorer. Why do we have two guys who can only score in the backcourt? We need a defender. So now they have a wing defender, Anthony Davis now backing him up. This just sets up really nice. And when I was talking about the Kings, when they went and got DeMar DeRozan, that's what the Kings needed. They needed a wing defender. They didn't need DeMar DeRozan. They had the scoring. They had De'Aaron Fox. They had Keegan Murray's good defender too. They had Sabonis. They had those two offensive guys. So great move by the Lakers. I think this was definitely driven by JJ Redick because I think we've mentioned this a month ago. He always highlights those EPM metrics, and Dorian Finney-Smith's really high in that. So I think he was looking. They have three first round picks still that they could trade. So the Lakers aren't necessarily done.
Ooh,
you know, there's
one last run.
Yeah, they can still make more moves. They got away without trading. I'm surprised they got Dorian Finney-Smith for no first round picks. I think the Nets obviously think they can probably flip D'Angelo Russell for more type thing. So great move.
LeBron turns 40 years old today too, I believe, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is crazy. Absolutely crazy. It's funny. I asked myself, we were having this conversation about how it's a good thing and a bad thing about how the NBA, the Christmas Day games, the one that got all the attention was the one with the two old guys, LeBron and Steph Curry, right? And talking about LeBron, how he's 40 years old, still a very good player. My son, who's 7 years old, I'll say, name a couple NBA players, just like put him, he likes sports and stuff. And the ones he names are the old guys, LeBron James, Steph Curry, and Michael Jordan is the other one that he names. So I'm like, all right, boy, you're on to something here. All right, let's get into it here. Five total picks. No role players for John with his picks here today. He's got three props. I got two spreads. John, you have three, so you can get us started. Nikola Jokic.
What do you think? I went Nikola Jokic over 8.5 assists. So he's playing the Utah Jazz. And when you just think of the Jazz defense, it's not great. I mean, the best defender probably is Walker Kessler. But when you're thinking about Jokic's assists, if Kessler is guarding Jokic and Jokic is making a pass to an open shooter, you know, Kessler's not going to be there to defend that shot, and he's not going to be able there to protect the rim. So Jokic kind of occupies and takes him away from contesting those shots. And you just look across the board. I mean, Jamal Murray, you know, even Russell Westbrook, like all these guys, they're going to be able to convert potential assists. I think the one thing that concerns you with this bet is obviously the blowout potential of the Nuggets facing the Jazz, but the game is in Utah. If the game was in Denver, I feel like I don't think I'd bet this. I'd probably leave this alone. It'd be a much bigger spread. But the fact that it's in Utah, I think that kind of helps here too, because you want those minutes. We're going to need the minutes from Jokic. So I went Nikola Jokic over 8.5 assists.
Jokic. Okay. First up for me, I'm going to take the Clippers to cover as a 4.5-point favorite in New Orleans versus the Pelicans. So LA, they're on one of their best stretches of the season. Over their last five games, they ranked third in net rating. Some notable wins in that span over Golden State, over Memphis, and over Dallas. In that five-game span, the Pelicans ranked 29th in net rating. Just an enormous defensive gap here between these teams lately. Second versus 27th in defensive rating over that five-game span. First versus 28th in opponent EFG shooting percentage. LA also shooting the ball much better. And this Clippers team doesn't really play down to the competition. They are 8-2 against the spread as a favorite. Lots of lopsided losses for the Pelicans. So I'll take the Clippers to cover the spread in New Orleans. Next up, Klay Thompson looking to take advantage of no Luka in the lineup here for their foreseeable future. What do you like for him?
Yeah, I went Klay Thompson over 16.5 points. So I mean, to state the obvious, the Mavericks need offense with Luka Doncic out. They need someone to shoot it. And you just even look at his last game against the Trailblazers. He went under this total. I think he had 12 points. He was 5 for 17 from the field. You're 17 shots. I mean, he's just going to have to shoot it. The opportunity is there. You just got to make the shots. The one thing, you know, this number had an edge with Klay Thompson playing about like 29, 30 minutes, which is like closer to the season average. But with Doncic out, he's like up 32, 34, could be even higher. I mean, they just need him to play. And Najee Marshall, who also is a big guy and like gets minutes in the rotation, he's suspended for fighting Jusuf Nurkić. PJ Washington is back. So there's like kind of multiple paths here where we don't need the extra minutes, but I feel like the extra minutes probably are there. And I always love betting on NBA players, obviously when the numbers and all that's there, but when there's also like that little narrative that gives them a little more motivation. Mike Brown was an assistant coach for the Golden State Warriors when they won those titles. And now Klay Thompson's going into Sacramento to face the team that just fired someone that was one of his close assistants in Golden State. So Klay Thompson also makes things personal sometimes. So give me the over 16.5.
I will interrupt the picks here for a moment. You touched on how there was that fight between who was that fight between that was the Suns and Suns. Yeah. And then I think it was the Rockets and Heat got into a fight. So I'm thinking, here's what I'm thinking, guys, all this talk a couple of weeks ago about how the NBA ratings absolutely suck. How about they introduce more fighting into the sport? I think that will get more eyes on it, kind of like the NHL. I don't know about full-on fist fights at center court. Now, that would get a lot of attention. But, yeah, fighting in the NBA. Let's get it going. Okay, let's keep the picks going. Let's go to Golden State, where the NBA's best team. A lot of people are probably like, who's he talking about, the Celtics? No, I'm talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers, baby. I like to cover here as a four-point favorite. Big gap between these teams here lately. Last 10 games, that's a decent sample size. First versus 24th in net rating. Open up the sample size even more. The Warriors are just 4-12 in their last 16 games. They're kind of falling off of a cliff here. These offenses are miles apart right now. Look at that 10-game sample size. First versus 25th in offensive rating. First versus 28th in EFG shooting percentage. And the Cavs should be a bigger favorite here. Again, disrespected. They are an absolute covering machine. They are the best bet in the NBA this season. Both overall, 22-9 against spread as a favorite. They are 19-9 against the spread. So we'll take them to roll against the Golden State Warriors, who are having a rough time here lately. Okay, final pick of the show here, a guy that got mentioned earlier, DeMar DeRozan. What do you like for him?
Yeah, just to briefly touch on what you're saying about the Warriors there, I think they're learning quickly that Dennis Schroeder in the FIBA World Cup in the Olympics, which is why Steve Kerr traded for him, is not the same Dennis Schroeder that's in the NBA. So that's they're like 0-5 since they made that trade or something. I don't know, something like that. So, okay, we'll go to the next pick. I just thought that was interesting because Steve Kerr said, this guy killed me on the Olympic stage, so we traded for him. I was like, oh, good luck with that. we're going DeMar DeRozan, over 3.5 assists plus 110. So I kind of talked about it. Doug Christie, interim head coach for Mike Brown there. We saw one game, they played the Lakers, and DeMar DeRozan played 41 minutes in that one game, first game as with Doug Christie as head coach. And that stands out. I mean, DeRozan's averaging about like 35 minutes on the year. That's almost like adding a full overtime. Is he going to play DeRozan that much again? Don't know, but you do like that. You know, you're also chasing your first win as a head coach. So he's kind of showing you who he's leaning on. The victim of this was Keegan Murray. Keegan Murray's like up there averaging like 38 minutes a game. He was down to 29 the first game of Doug Christie. So that's something to keep an eye on. And then also just how they are running the offense against the Lakers. So DeMar DeRozan had 12 potential assists, 7 assists. All three guards, Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, DeMar DeRozan, all had above 10 potential assists. I think Sabonis was only about 5. So whatever plays he was calling, whatever actions they were running, he was running it through his guards. So that's something to keep an eye on too, because obviously things are changing. I do like DeMar DeRozan also kind of like lives in that mid-range too. So I feel like Lively's questionable, but at least Gafford, there's rim protection there that could force him to kick out. And most of his potential assists are to shooters. So give me the over 3.5 plus money. I don't think that should be plus money. Give me the over on DeMar DeRozan.
Now, the see you next year joke would make no sense. I just determined if I do it now, because we're going to be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is New Year's Eve. So I'll try to remember to do it then. Okay. To recap the bets, if you missed the NFL segment off the top, Jingles is going to go with Detroit first half team total over 13.5. Ricky Pearsall to have over 21 and a half receiving yards, and for his longest reception to be over 14 and a half. I like the Lions to cover the full game spread minus 3.5, and Debo to go over 47 and a half receiving yards. In the NBA, Mettler went with Jokic over 8.5 assists, Klay Thompson over 16 and a half points, DeMar DeRozan over 3.5 assists. I like a couple favorites here. Clippers minus 4.5, Cavs minus 4 in Golden State against the Warriors. And that does it. A very efficient 50 minutes here. The Monday show is always a big one. They're going to be slowing down here, though, with, you know, Monday Night Football. I believe it's the last it is the last regular season Monday Night Football game, but we will have a Monday Night Football game in the wild card round. I believe, yeah, Abby Jackson says Lions first half minus 2.5 is a strong play as well. I 100% agree. The Lions have been a great first half bet this season. Okay, yeah, we're going to be right back with you guys tomorrow. More NBA, of course, with John. I don't know how many games there are in the NBA tomorrow. I didn't even look ahead yet, but I believe there's at least a few.
Yeah, we've gone away from the NBA Cup, and now they just keep hitting us with like 6-7 games a day, which is like, thank you.
I love that. From a handicapping perspective, it doesn't take up too much time, but it still gives you plenty to choose from. So we'll be covering the NBA. Professional sports bettor Hitman is going to be here to try to get a jump on some of this Week 18 stuff. Week 18, always a little tricky here. You got to get some good angles there. And then Jake Butt's going to be here on Tuesday this week instead of Thursday. We need to get his thoughts on the second round playoff games here. So great big show coming up tomorrow as well. Cannot wait to do it. Thank you to all of my guests for joining today. Thank you to producer Mick for putting together a solid show for us today. Thank you to BetMGM, our sponsor. Make sure you check them out for all of your sports betting needs. And thank you to all the great viewers for tuning in today. We'll catch you guys again tomorrow. Best of luck with your bets. Let's go, Lions. Woo!